coffee one day, she told me they were hiring. So I went back. I was hired.
Hired to do what?
I was hired in the cabinet room. And I worked in there 3 months. And then several people quit in the rub and pack department, and I was transferred there, and that's where I stayed until I was laid off.
What were the approximate dates of your employment at home?
I was laid off March 1993. That's all I heard. 87.
So you started working at White after it had been sold already. Just some questions to clarify. You said you worked at Rockstar, don't you? What or where?
Is Collins and Eichmann here in town.
Collins and Eichmann? Eichmann.
A-I-K-M-A-N.
And what did you do there?
Worked in the Beeman department, running a warper. It's a machine that you run yarn on, and then it's there run together to weave cloth.
Okay. So that's a different kind of job than what you
do.
So for my first question, gosh, they must require new skills. How did you make that transition from working with cloth to working with wood?
I just believe I can do anything. Just show me how.
Was it hard making that transition?
Yeah, in some ways, because I'd never worked with wood. And I really didn't like the cabinet room. It was, you did a lot of sanding and things like that. I like it written in the back. I love it all that.
What did you like about the cabinet room, and what did you like about that?
Well, I guess in the cabinet room, it's just the raw wood, and the dust from sanding and things like that. And it was just, it was hard on me, the adjusting. The assembly part didn't bother me, when I went to the cabinet, to rub it back, I liked everything over I did.
When you worked in the cabinet room, did you work by yourself or did you work with others?
With others.
Okay. One of my impressions of the rubbing and packing room, from the photos that I've seen of them, is that people work together and perhaps you could talk or you could. Mm-hmm. It seemed more social.
Yeah.
And maybe for me that would be easier because I could chat as I worked or just talk about
the day go by faster. Mm-hmm. You can talk and just cut it.
Who did you work with in the cabinet room?
People wise, or Linda Vermeer, Richard Poole, Jimmy Wynn. Jimmy and I worked together a whole lot making drawers. Linda Dotson, Abby Jones, Bill Hicks, it's part of them anyway.
Yes. Did you work with people as a pair often, or did you would be a number of people working on one project?
You would go from, you might be sub-assembly or maybe assembly or just whatever, but it was usually two or three people working together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when you moved to rubbing and packing, was it the same group working together, or did you work with different people?
Different people, because it just depended on what I was doing at the time. We sort of rotated, and just the job you were being classified in and paid for, it didn't mean you go in and do that all day. You may be waxing, I could be packing, I may be inspecting, putting on hardware, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't do the same thing every day, the same people, the same people, but maybe different functions.
Yeah, if I was, my job was to put on hardware. If I was doing that, I worked with the same person. Anything else, I was just different ones.
What does it mean to put on hardware?
Handles. Put your screws in, put cameras on. Well, most of it, some we had to put in bag and pack inside. Just depending on what we were running.
I'm really curious, still thinking about your movement from one place to another. What was your first day like and learning these new skills? Did you have one person show you around? Did they just throw you out there?
No, the supervisor showed me what to do. Just that day I basically worked by myself, but a lot of people would come by and, you know, make sure I was okay, you know, if I had any problems.
And being a helpful group?
Oh yeah, very friendly people.
Were they any more friendly than your last job? I'm saying that the general atmosphere you were expecting?
In a lot of ways, I guess they were friendlier. On my previous job, it wasn't that they weren't friendly, we just didn't see each other much. But, you know, because you had to be right there at that machine. And I guess at White's we just mingled more. Tim Chavis, Elton Murdoch, Reggie Evans, Barbara Hanks, Tammy Shortridge, Robert Hodgson, Yeah, it was.
How many did you say?
That was probably closer to 20.
Wow, that is a lot of people.
Doby, Journey Doby. I can't even think of the name of calling video so much.
Why'd you call him Julio?
He was Mexican descent. Cutting up, being ourselves.
Was it? I'm interested in nicknames too,
because it seems like there were a lot of nicknames. Like the city cook who worked in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody had a nickname, and I think that's very curious and fun. What did you have a nickname?
I got called Janie Baby quite a lot.
By anybody in particular, or by everybody?
Everybody.
Did that happen the first day you moved into rubbing and packing, or did you acquire it?
It took a while.
They had to figure you out, probably.
Yeah.
See what was kind of
get to know each other.
So it sounds like you got to know them very well. You worked there from 70 to 93. And who were you closest to?
People in rub and pack.
What, speaking of, people closest to you, what kind of time you expected? What were your hours? Did you spend the same amount of time? Did you all of you come in together and eat lunch together?
Mm-hmm.
You really
took their breaks together.
Yeah. Same life. What were the hours that you worked?
7 to 3:25.
3:25.
Because we only took one break, so they gave us the extra 5 minutes at the end of the day. Well, I don't know, we were supposed to get three breaks and we took two or something like that. We took longer breaks because it was so far to get to. took candy in the back. We took like 15 minute breaks instead of 3-10 minutes.
Right. So what would a typical day been? Did a bell ring or a whistle blow?
Yeah, whistle.
I heard talk about it like whistle.
Yeah.
And so you punch in at 7. Did you live in Medford at the time?
No, Roxburgh.
You live in Roxburgh. How far is it from Roxburgh to Medford?
It was from my house to the parking lot was 34 miles one way. I leave home about 6. They give me plenty of time. And I always stop at the store and get a drink or whatever.
So then you got 7 o'clock here. There are all 20 of you here at the same time. And this is where, and what did you do?
Start to work.
How did you said your job changed depending on what was needed.
Needed or if somebody was out. No, it just, the supervisor would tell us if we needed something else or, you know, maybe if you may have been on working at a particular thing one day, you just know you'd fall right back in there to it the next.
So you knew where your job that you left off and you knew what would happen next.
Yeah.
Unless your supervisor came and said, okay, tomorrow we're going to begin this. You need to make sure you know what that meant.
If 20 of you have 20 different jobs that would sometimes be the same, sometimes work together,
there's a very convoluted way of saying,
did you all have 20 different jobs or did some of you share jobs?
We shared.
We shared jobs. You mentioned you worked at hardware and that's one of the persons you work closely with.
Mm-hmm.
Is this person also hardware?
Yeah.
Okay. What other kinds of positions were there?
Well, it started when it came down our line. Well, just depended on what we were running. It may have to be machined, which I'm saying, you know, to make the top slick, so, you know, put the finish on it. It had to be cleaned up, waxed. Hardware went on, inspected. There were repair people, packed. And I guess I've done everything back there but repair.
So sometimes you had to go to different jobs.
Yeah.
And what was most
all of us did. Yeah. You know, just go wherever.
Sounded pretty flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that. Yeah. It's boring when you do the same thing over and over all day.
So you came in at 7 and you got to work and you knew what was needed for what was to be done. Other than hardware, which is what you were officially supposed to do. When was your first break?
Something like it was about 9:30 or something like that. I'm not exactly sure.
And to walk over to the canteen and just sit by the window?
Actually, I had a fellow a friend, not a fellow. Usually got my drink and, you know, we'd all sit upstairs together.
All 20 of you just...
Well, some went down there and stayed. Some of us stayed upstairs.
Had coffee and everything.
Well, eat.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
All you did during your 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, at lunchtime, if it was pretty, I'd go outside.
Mm-hmm. So with lunch?
Quarter to 12 until quarter after. Well, in the morning, you stay inside. Sometimes I didn't take lunch. I'd go over to Bird's back. I'd just go outside and sit.
Out
it had already been taken over when I went to work there. So I'm really not that familiar with it right now.
Did they ever make comparison between them and them?
Oh, of course. That's human nature.
But there, are there any comparisons that you remember? Like,
I just wish it was to be like,
oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And of course, that, you know, it'll never work. And
I was asking you about comparisons to the other people in Reading and Packing or in the company in general would make about the time then and the time before. Do they speak about it as a better time or a worse time?
Most people thought it was better before. But just any time there's a takeover, you know, you just insecure. Even if things get better, you're still gonna sort of think they were better before.
Yeah. Did you see what it was like? Did it feel fine at the factory? Or?
Yeah.
Sometimes I have heard that there was a beginning of a worry that people could sense something was wrong, that they were worried about the future of the factory. They were right. It closed, but at the same time it might have been because, as you said, people were on that demand because they're passing by.
Mm-hmm. But I think closing a whole lot was just the economy, and furniture sales were down, you know, terribly. And, you know, I can't blame a person for if they had to buy furniture at the time, buying the cheapest thing they could find instead of top quality. That's what I would have had to do. So, it was finally just closed it down. But I think after closing the fields for, I guess, you know, we started more or less looking for it, thinking, you know, we'll be next.
When people began understanding that it was, that it probably would happen,
a few did. Yeah. Most states.
In this state. Okay. Talk about the end. Talk about
journey.
In general, it would face the question, were the conditions good at the factory? Did you find the parts?
Well, I guess sometimes. Something you'd think was wrong and they would let go anyway, you know, it's make you angry. But, I just liked it. I didn't find a whole lot wrong with it.
When something went wrong or not the way you wanted to, did you feel that you could tell a supervisor and complain would be registered? Or did you feel like that would be happening?
Oh, no. You know, he was real good about that. But, you know, if somebody over him would override him, yeah, what can you do?
Yeah. Who was your supervisor?
Call Edwards. The main thing I disliked about flights, which is in most factory-type jobs, things went wrong we got sent home. And I just, you know, I'm by myself, and I need to depend on it for their job.
They have been talking after you quit there?
Well, some certain times of the year, really more, you know, fall. Sometimes it just, it'll be something bad wood or something. And, I mean, I understand why they did it, but that was really the only thing I didn't like about it.
And it you couldn't depend on
40 hours.
You didn't pay for 40 hours.
Yeah. Of course, now, you know, a lot of times I got overtime.
So you didn't always go home at 3:25. Sometimes you might stay longer, or did you have to work longer, or did you choose to work longer?
Occasionally, it would be mandatory. Most of the time, it was volunteer.
And was that overwork time done on the weekends, or just, you just continue working during the day?
Both.
And why did you have to work
overtime? Maybe an order to get something out, maybe sample. We'd be running samples quite a few times. I went to High Point to set up, you know, for the furniture market.
So you went to High Point. Did you help set up for a sales or showing?
The show, the furniture show. This one in the spring and one in the fall.
And how is it that you were asked to go?
My supervisor sent me the first time, and after that, I was asked to go. Richard Pickford, I'm not sure what his position was. He was over my supervisor. He requested that I go for the first time.
Is it a job that you like to do?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like it would be fun to me to represent my company and to talk about my product. Is that what you asked to do, or what exactly was your responsibility?
We would go in and set it up. It, just clean it up, repair work had to be done, maybe, you know, a touch-up, or cleaning mirrors, and just making sure everything looked the best it possibly could.
Was that a weekend job?
Yes, I have been down on weekends. Sometimes we were taking off the job during the day to go. You wouldn't necessarily be back at 3:30, so I would usually know a day ahead of time to make sure, you know, because I live so far away and several of us would ride together, you know, to make sure I, you know, had a ride to get back home. But we went a lot on weekends too.
That would be a nice change of pace.
Oh, yeah.
How many of you would go to help set up for that show?
Most of the time it would be it varied. Mostly the same. Repairman and an inspector. And then two or three extras. Just make sure everything got done.
What sorts of furniture did you take with you to show? What did you show?
Everything you need. Of course, this was a collection of hickory white, hickory, KM, and chair crack. It's all the companies, everything that's in the same building. It's amazing to see.
It's a lot of stuff. You need to make sure all of it was
only air product. Each company would send in their people.
Well, it's an honor to be sent, giving the half day off to go.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're a success. You can be trusted with responsibility to fix it for the clinic and the office of that.
Fielder, Penny C. Penny, Mariah, Reggie, Kelton, Tim, Brenda, Betty, Crystal, Joan, Dorothy, Joe, Andy.
Who don't you see?
And I mean, these people are spread from Oxford to Burlington.
My gosh. How do you see each other? How do you keep up?
We just will call each other and, you know, hey, I'm coming over today. And
that's really good.
It's not like it was at White Sea. It was just, they were like my family. And it was, it didn't matter whether you were white, black, Mexican, we were all close. You know, got invited to everybody's kids' birthday parties. And as a matter of fact, one guy in our department got married, and everybody in there, including women, were invited to the bachelor party.
That's great. Did you go?
Yes, I was told I had to go. I was one of the boys. So I went by maybe an hour at the beginning.
And then stuck away before I got too long.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So it sounds like you moved in pretty quickly, learned your responsibility, got to know people, became part of the community. How was it that you didn't live in Mebane? Kind of a long drive, and you were close to people, so it sounds like you worked at seeing them and you didn't even live in the same town.
Yeah, but, well, there was like 4 to 6 of us at different times would ride together. So, you know, it didn't make it so hard on anybody to drive, and you weren't riding by yourself, so it didn't seem so far.
Did you ever consider moving to Mebane?
Yeah, if they had stayed open, I probably would have.
Are you from Rockville?
No, originally from Virginia. I'm an assembly technician. We assemble CD joints. It's a half shed. It goes in four-wheel drive, front-wheel drive vehicles.
And again, when it's something that you didn't know how to do and then was just shown and learned?
I've never heard of one.
Good, because I was embarrassed to ask.
And you just, I knew, figured it out.
Well, they did, I went to 3 weeks of schooling pre-employment, and it was like 5 stages to go through. I put in an application, I was called for an interview, I was sent to pre-employment schooling for 3 weeks, and we were tested. They called me to go for a drug test, and when they got the results back, they called and offered me a job. Then I had 5 more weeks of school.
GKN?
GKN.
GKN. And they provided all this? I guess it's far different experience than having a friend call you up and say they have a job at Mebane and going over and getting a job.
Definitely.
Very different. What did you think about this new process, getting a job?
It was different. It had been a while since I'd been, you know, looking for a job, and it's had never had to provide a resume. It used to be you just walk into a place and, you know, I've even been in and just talked to them and and gotten jobs. But of course, with a new plant, they had, have so many people.
Was it competitive?
Yeah. Well, I was very fortunate. I was on the first time. And, well, they're still hiring. March 19th through June 21st.
And all those weeks of home to get a job. And I said, what did they train you? What were they testing you for?
We had a lot of math, shop math. We had to learn how to read, like blueprints. We had to learn how to fill out charts. We've gone through a course on Zimmer Miller. It's, well, a lot of it is learning to work in teams. We don't have supervisors. And we're still going to school. Good benefits. Not weights, but I like it.
What is not weights about it? There are lots of things that are not like weights, it seems. Not having a supervisor working with a team, how does that work?
Well, the line I'm on, Chrysler line, we've been together long enough. We've worked out our problems. There were so many different personalities and coming from different places. We've worked out all our problems and things are going real well. The Neurolines are, they're still going through theirs. But it's such a change for everybody. It's their problems, but I think it'll work good once we get everything together.
So what was one of the hardest problems was getting over differences in people?
Yeah. It was for us, but it's just by not having a supervisor, we make our own decisions. But we have to do it as a team. You have to vote on it, and majority wins.
Wow.
It's when you're used to a supervisor telling you every day, you do so and so, you go over there, whatever. It's a big switch.
You think it'll work out for the other team as well? The one that's still having the lower line?
I think every group that comes in will have the same difficulties. It's just something that will take time.
Do you like it as a system?
Yeah. Well, we're pretty close to it. Having a supervisor is good, but you fall into a rut of not thinking, and making decisions on your own. This way you have to.
That's true, you have to confront people instead of going to the supervisor and saying, he's not doing his job.
Yeah.
You have to figure out a way to say that person and still work with them.
True.
And that seems a real challenge.
Without hurting their feelings.
So, I admire people who have those skills. I think it's pretty impressive. I'm going to talk about whole plant, for that matter, were not laid off at the same time. But, you know, they started the first department and worked on that. Well, I was in the next to last department. But they had, in February, they had one big layoff in Rubin Pack. And there was a lot of hugging and some little crying and, you know, a lot of exchanging addresses. And most of them, every week after that, you know, when they would come back to get the check, they would come up to see what was left, you know. Before I got laid off, everybody got laid off, but the paramedic, the inspector, and myself. The report was there. So we took one pack. Three of us got laid off that day. So that on the death, the paramedic inspector. And they were laid off the next week.
What could five people do in the last week?
Well, any repairs, we could clean up and get out. Packing up stuff to be shipped to Hickory. If it was trash, taken to the dumpster, just cleaning up, basically.
It's hard to imagine five people doing the work of 20 because that's impossible.
Yeah, but it wouldn't, we weren't still in production. So what you did was just slower.
When did production stop? Did you know your layoff was coming? Did you know when it was going to be? How was it going to happen?
Well, we knew it would happen from, you know, the time we were told, which is, I think, in November. But no, I really didn't know the date until the day I was laid off. And I could have worked another week, but you know, it really didn't matter. It was, I knew I'd have to find something else anyway, so. Date-wise, so it didn't matter.
How did you receive notice of being laid off?
Everybody in the plant was called together. And, I guess it was a company president told us. And we were told, you know, because of the economy and sales were down where they were, you know, it was really bad. A lot of furniture companies closed up. According to the news and companies closing up, I guess we were, you know, one of the last ones in the line.
just a... You knew it was going to be a change in your life. There was people there, I guess, probably that was the only place they'd ever worked. You know, some people have been there like 30, 40 some years. It was easier on the younger ones than it was the older ones. You know, of course you'd be insecure thinking, well, you know, will I find anything else? And will I make anywhere near the pay I'm making now? But life goes on. You just be able to deal with it, keep on going.
Is that announcement?
We need to lay up to keep them dry.
There was some crying too, it seemed like there was a need to go.
Oh yeah, there was. Something, you know, it was a sad time. It really was in November and, you know, more so in February. Because, you know, when they started laying off people, a reality. You know, you think, well, this really is happening now. Yes. This is just, you know, you're uncertain about when you'd be laid off. And so, but, when you happen, you know, you'd have to go somewhere else.
The odd feeling of wondering if every day was your last thing. I wonder if you didn't know anything. Did you know? Well, you said you didn't know until the day that you noticed that you knew your last.
Yeah.
So, did you walk in at 7 as you walked in and not hand it a note?
No. Let's see. I think the first bunch that was laid off, they were told sometime that day, and then of course you had to go to the office for the last papers. Well, they'd have a big meeting for them. And then after that, I think it was a couple of weeks before they laid off some more. And he didn't say anything to me when he made the layoff, so the next week, I mean, I knew it was like a matter of maybe working another week, so I just told him, you know, I'd go ahead and take mine, unless he really needed me. Well, word was, it was like three out of what was left had to go. Well, that's when some of us volunteered, it made it easier on me. Yeah, well, if it had been, like, I mean, if we'd been running full force, you know, and he'd done that, I'd been highly upset. But it didn't bother me because I knew it was coming, you know.
Yeah. Hmm. I think even though you know it's coming, it's always part of it, part of it, you know, part of that shock. Even if I knew, I didn't even want to work there. But just really kind of insulting and just terrible. So this is different. It wasn't insulting that fast enough to be done. But,
you know, like if, you know, if it had been, if he had done it that way, you know, that, I don't think it bothers me.